Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Tamilson. It's good to see everyone here. It's kind of tough when you start talking about the floods coming. Right? We might have some coming here ourselves here. It's not going to stop raining for a while. Lori said no other announcements but hers because she has more food than we can eat downstairs. She has. This is Lori now, so I know you're all going to be surprised to hear this. She has cupcakes, sandwiches, two cakes, one from Cutie Pies, and fruit. She has it all downstairs for afterwards, and she wants you all to come downstairs and take some home. And I hear we're actually going to have coffee this week. That's going to be a good thing. It's a good day for it. Does anyone have any announcements they would like to share with us? Jay? Anything? Come on. Make it up. Come on. No?
Okay. Back here, Gary.
We have one. Okay.
I just want to say to the people that donated to camp, thank you so much. Hopefully, if all goes well, staff gets to return tomorrow.
Yeah. Great.
Despite this weather, my son from Syria sent me a picture of a sunset, which is pretty cool. So if anyone wants to see it, I'll show it to you later.
Okay, cool. And Lauren is going to be giving a testimony.
So we have that testimony and song, right?
Good. Good. Okay. Does anyone have anything else they would like to share this morning? Joys and concerns? Karen?
Well, this is a joy.
A joy. Woo! You don't get any of those.
Megan's 16th
birthday
is today.
Woo-hoo!
So we're not going to embarrass her and do that.
No?
No, we're absolutely not. Right, Megan? We're not doing that.
We're not doing that?
We sang it for her.
You did?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
She's good.
We have other birthdays coming up next week. We're going to have a few next week. Anything else anyone would like to share with us this morning before we get started? Well, then let us now stand for our intro.
Yeah.
Please join me now in our call to worship found in your bulletin. Though we have known hardship and pain, though life has not always turned out as we have hoped, we will stand here and say,
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Though life became more complex, the deepest questions remain unanswered, and the mystery of faith deepens, we will say,
God's steadfast love endures forever.
And though the pain of the world often seems more than we can bear or address, we will stand firm in our faith and say,
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Join me now in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10, and that's on page 583 in your pew Bible. You, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. The New Testament reading this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and that's on page 983 in your Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that through perishable, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. As you all may know, there was a terrible storm at camp. That Sunday morning, it was cloudy with a chance of rain, but no one was too concerned. We had our staff meeting and went over how we were going to run check-in since it would be raining. After our meeting was over, we all scattered to prepare for campers to arrive. Little did we know, this was going to be more than just some rain. I was stationed down at the Mayflower Chapel with at least five other crew members. The rest of staff was up at Squanto. Just for context, if you are unaware, check-in starts with campers parking at the Mayflower Chapel and leaving luggage with crew, talking with the nurse, then walking up to camp and meeting their counselor, etc. I'm welcoming parents into the chapel. It's starting to downpour, there's thunder and lightning, but everything is going to plan, so we thought. Runoff water is starting to flood into the chapel. The roads are starting to flood, and we lost power. Leadership made their way down and made the decision to close the chapel doors and move everyone upstairs and close camp. The thunder is so loud and the lightning is right around us. The storm just keeps getting worse. I'm looking outside and the road was like a river. Parents are worried, kids are crying, it's a mess. Us crew were trying to answer as many questions as we could while leadership talked to each other on what to do next to keep everyone safe. I was starting to get a bit nervous because I was starting to have flashbacks from when I was stuck in a tornado in Washington, D.C., but I was the one in the bright pink camp staff shirt, so I had no time to be scared. I was asked things like, can I leave? Are we safe? Is this almost over? And so on. And I was kind of thinking to myself, like, does it look like you can leave? Like, not even Michael Phelps can swim through this. yeah. So while I'm trying to calm nervous parents, people just start screaming, and I look around, people are running, and leadership is telling people to move to the opposite side of the room. I looked out the window. There was a mudslide, and a tree was falling. It was going to fall right onto the chapel, and that was really scary. And at that moment, I honestly was like, you know what? I accept death right now. Like, that's okay. I'll be with God. But I couldn't text or call any family or friends since there was no service. In the midst of the chaos, I found a small group of Mayflower staff that were crying together, and I just felt the urge to pray over them. I stood in a huddle with them and just prayed. This was my prayer. Dear God, you are our protector. Your hands are our shield. No storm can hurt us. No enemy can touch us. Nothing can prosper against us. At that moment, the tree fell on its side and the mudslide stopped. Matthew 17:20. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I open my eyes and see Nurse Julie standing in the middle of the room getting everyone's attention. She says that she's going to pray for all of us. That's when someone decides to say that prayer won't work and that she just wants a real way to stay safe. Julie replied with, you don't have to pray with us, but we are still going to pray. She started praying and the thunder and lightning stopped and the woman was just gone. The enemy will try to sneak in to create more fear, but faith and prayer is more powerful and the enemy just doesn't want you to believe that. But we took this as an opportunity to get people out of the chapel and safely up the water-filled road to the Squanto Dining Hall. If the lightning didn't stop, we wouldn't have been able to leave because water and electricity do not mix well. As soon as we left the chapel, the mudslide went down the rest of the way. Once we made it to the dining hall, the storm started up again. While reuniting with the rest of staff to discuss what we should do while leadership was busy planning, the first thing I was told was, Kirsten was struck by lightning. At that time, we still didn't have power or service, so we only knew an ambulance come to pick her up, but we had no idea she was okay, injured, or even alive. Now, the rest of that part is not my story to tell, but she is okay with no injuries. There was no time to ponder on that information, so I just prayed and moved to what I could do. It's evening time, people are hungry, and we have to give them food. Luckily, we could use gas for the stove and not just electricity. The only problem was we had prepared food for about 100 campers and around 30 staff, and there was like 200 people there. And crew and Mayflower kitchen staff are running around helping to get any food we could like find in the kitchen to what was already made. It just reminded me of that one Bible story when the little boy was like, Jesus, we only have 5 baskets of bread and fish. We can't feed this many people. And Jesus was like, let me prove you wrong real quick. And he multiplied all of the fish and the bread. And it was just like that. It was like, where's all this food coming from? And it was just like that. And once I was done in the kitchen and serving food, I went downstairs to the basement of the dining hall, which we call the Ritz. It's a living space with a lounge to chill with some other staff members and finally get to eat some food. There wasn't much we could do to help at this point until leadership gave us more information. As I was eating, 2 little girls caught my attention. Caroline, another staff member, was keeping these 2 girls occupied. Turns out they arrived to camp early before the severe storm and their parents already left. I helped Caroline watch them. We played games and told stories. I later found out that one of the girls that we were watching was with Kirsten when she got struck. Later on, I found out as well from Kirsten when I saw her again that the doctors told her that if the girl got hit instead, that she would have died. God is so good in how he does things, because the lightning didn't hurt Kirsten and it didn't touch the little girl, because the little girl was also holding an umbrella, so that could have ended so badly. Anyways, as we were occupying the girls, everyone else was running in, bringing in mattresses and arranging areas for everyone to sleep. We went from a dining hall to becoming a shelter in about an hour. Fast forward to the morning, we were able to serve everyone breakfast. The fire department had come to start guiding people out because there's only one working road because all the other ones were washed out. We made sure people had rides and could get home before another storm came. It was supposed to rain again. And even a school bus showed up to shuttle people out. Staff was then directed to leave. It was so sad to have to leave as well, but it was for our safety. On the bright side, I was able to be home with my mom the day she got knee surgery, so I was able to help her for a bit. This whole situation strengthened my faith. I'm now able to share a story on how good God's love is. In the eye of the storm, he remains in control. Tomorrow, staff gets to return back to our heaven on earth. There's a lot that still has to get done, but there's hope that Squanto will be able to open for the last few weeks of summer.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
2 weeks ago, we discussed freedom in Christ, found in Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. The book of Galatians was the Apostle Paul's first epistle or letter. Last week, we connected his Galatians message of standing firm with his second epistle, 1 Thessalonians. This gave us a first-hand look into how Paul, the apostle and the pastor, encouraged this young church in Thessalonica to stand firm in their faith. This morning, we're going to discuss standing firm in your suffering. There are probably as many types of suffering as a Christian as there are types of apples in the world. And you better believe that the evil one is dreaming up all new types of suffering he can all the time. There are still places around the world in which today the suffering Paul describes happening to his followers is closely mirroring the suffering of some Christians around the world today. Christians around the world are still being insulted, isolated, humiliated, discriminated, arrested, beaten, tortured, burned, and killed to death for their faith. The group Open Doors USA figures that about 360 million Christians last year lived in countries where persecution was significant. Roughly 5,600 Christians were murdered. More than 6,000 were detained or imprisoned. And another 4,000 plus were kidnapped. My intention today is not to bum you out or to bring anyone down, but this morning I would like you to think about your suffering. I would like to encourage each of you to stand firm in your suffering. All Christians suffer. Either you have, you are, or you will. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14. We can preach and worship here today feeling no opposition, no discomfort. No discomfort unless the sermon goes too long. And experience no judgment when we walk out the door. We can freely worship week after week, year after year, while staying in our personal comfort zone. We thank God that we are not arrested, beaten, tortured, burned, or killed for our faith. But we could easily be insulted, isolated, humiliated, or discriminated. Some of our suffering comes in our service, and some comes from the inside of us. I can only imagine the bountiful numbers of ways each one of us suffers in one way or another, whether it's mental or physical, emotional or spiritual. The Apostle Paul wrote, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." 2 Corinthians 4. I have a friend, a dear friend. He served as a priest early in his life for some large Catholic churches. And later in life, he was the pastor of a couple of small Episcopal churches. Retired, he's in his late 80s. You don't know him, but I bet many of you have seen him. He's one of the guys who stood out on the Litchfield Green protesting our involvement in the past couple of conflicts in the Middle East. For hours and days, he peacefully stood with his signs of protest. At first, there were many with him. Weeks later, it was just him, every day. I found him one day in the freezing cold, standing outside Stop and Shop, ringing the bell, so cold that he barely knew who I was. I begged to trade places with him, but he stood his ground. That was his job. That's what he was going to do. Age, conflict, and weather has not stopped him in his service or his faith. The early church was seen as a threat to the other more established religious systems, and those in power didn't like it when the authority was challenged, but do they ever? Especially when they were challenged, originated from a wandering band of disciples who followed around a poor Jewish carpenter from Nazareth. So if anyone had a chance to fold up their tents and call it a day, it was the church in Thessalonica. It was surrounded by all kinds of pagan temples who were promoting worship and praise to such pagan gods and goddesses as Jupiter and Zeus, Apollo and Aphrodite. The church at Thessalonica had to fight against the imperial cult of Rome, which proclaimed Caesar as the son of God and the high priest of the land. It had to fight against the Jews, who were denying that Jesus was the Messiah, the Lord of King. It had to deal with slander and intense persecution. It had become dangerous to follow Jesus. And yet this church not only followed Jesus, it grew to become one of the most focal points of reaching the world for Jesus. Well, how did it do it? By having faith and living out that faith. By believing in God so much that their faith caused a change in the way that they thought and how they treated people and how they lived their lives. Their faith led them to walk in new paths. Their faith led them to stand up against persecution. Their faith led them to bow down at God's altars and ask the fire of the Holy Spirit to renew them. Their faith helped them rebuild their society based on a true God of the universe. Their faith caused them to put everything at the feet of Jesus. By having a love that compelled them to do the hard work of prayer and fasting, the hard work of reaching out to others unlike themselves, the Jews and the Gentiles, worshiping and serving together. People of different cultures, different colors, even speaking different languages, coming together and loving one another. The hard work of seeing who they could love, giving their time, their talents, and their resources. The hard work of agape love, finding ways to reach out and love to those around them. By keeping their hope alive in Christ, by hanging on to what Matthew would later write in verse 17:23, and he will be raised on the third day. The disciples knew that holding on to the third day hope of God, they could put all of their hope in Jesus. Knowing that if they dedicated themselves to the Lord, consecrated their hearts and lives, and spent time in God's presence, they would see amazing things. Today, do we as a church consider ourselves people of faith, love, and hope? Are we the kind of people that can look at and say that He is pleased with your work of faith, pleased with the labors of love, pleased with your steadfastness of hope? How is our faith today? How are our labors of love? How is our hope? I believe that in their faith and their hope and their love that this young church possessed was something that the Lord seeks for all of his churches to possess, the big three, faith, love, and hope. It can make all the difference in the world, in our lives and in the lives of our congregation. The sadness is that for some, faith, love, and hope are nothing more than just words. Words that sound impressive to say, but in their hearts, in reality, they're just words without meaning, words without understanding, words without a heart-filled spirit. So today, let's allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and our souls by asking the Lord to help us in our faith to grow. Do we need a more active faith, a faith that compels us in the labors of love? Are we people of hope, or do we think that all is lost? Can we envision God doing something supernatural in our lives and in the lives around us? Today, more than ever, we need to be people of love, hope, and faith. Now, in stepping out in faith, the early church suffered, and we should expect the same as we follow Jesus. John 15:18-19, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, if you love it as your own, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. The world that Jesus came to save ultimately rejected and refused him. And as this passage of John points out, the same will happen to you and I as we follow Jesus. I wonder how many so-called Christians called my friend an idiot for standing up for his beliefs, or quickly brushed past him as he froze his butt off ringing that bell. But we need to remember that our battle is not actually with flesh and blood, our neighbors, co-workers, friends, or fellow Christians. Our battle is with the original adversary, the king of division and destruction. And as we must learn, just like the early church in Thessalonica, to stand firm in our faith, even in the midst of suffering and persecution. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Paul says they welcomed the message with joy. They received the gospel message with suffering, and they welcomed it with joy. The first Thessalonian church was set apart. It was admired. It was modeled because of the way it was able to receive the gospel and in turn live out the gospel. It was amazing then, as it is now, that in spite of difficulties that they faced, they persevered in their faith. Years ago, Min Thompson sat in the back row with Herb and Roger. She suffered silently for years. Every week she would come to church. Every week she would pray. She would pray for her husband, Bill, that one day Bill would join her. She prayed that someday that he would find the joy that she had in being a child of God and the hope that she found in loving Christ. For over 60 years, she prayed. And for 60 plus years, she came to church alone. Bill kept to himself. Min held on to the belief in her heart that one day her husband would join her and they would come to church together. She always seemed to have a comfortable smile of joy on her face, knowing that in her prayers, she was leaving everything at the feet of Jesus. One day, Min's faith, her love, and her hope paid off as Bill joined her for church. And he came every week until he passed. In Min's silent suffering, she stood firm in exercising an unwavering faith that her prayers would eventually be answered. 1 Thessalonians 2:1-2. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi. And as you know, but with the help of God, our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. Tough times can tempt us to give up. For this reason, when I could stand no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. One of Satan's main tools is to tempt us to bail on God. We are tempted in at least three ways: to doubt God's goodness, The tempters whisper in our ear that God has forgotten us, that he doesn't care, that he isn't good. To retaliate against others with anger or resentment. This is one of his favorite tactics when our hard times involve problems with friends or family members. To give in to despair and discouragement. Maybe you're sick and you feel that you'll never get better. Perhaps you feel rejected or you feel alone. Maybe you've lost a job or feel that you're just not qualified to do anything anymore. Paul was so worried with these new Christians that they might crumble that he sent Timothy there to find out if they were still standing strong. Trials they cause casualties, even the most courageous of Christians. But let's admit that under pressure, we begin to accept bad habits. We begin to develop wrong attitudes. We start to slide down that slippery slope of despair. But we don't have to let our problems prevail. We don't have to let them prevail in our life. Paul and his companions faced strong opposition to the message of Christ. I said earlier, the early church was seen as a threat to the more established religious systems and authorities. And those in power didn't like that their authority was being challenged. The gospel was threatening to those in authority who were afraid. They were afraid of losing their control. Do you think things are different today? Do you think that the gospel of Jesus is threatening those who are in power? Is it threatening to those who lead by way of coercion or control of others? Are you ever truly free until Christ sets you free? Thanks to God that he knew how hard things would get, and he saw fit to build us up together in a spiritual home. You are not alone in your faith. I know that some of you here today aren't going to believe me, but one of the most powerful assets that we have as Christians, as a church, are those people sitting around you here today. We are better together, stronger together, more powerful when we stand together. And when we suffer, as we will, you'll be confident to know that there are others around you who have walked in your shoes. They know what it feels like, and they're there to help because they have suffered in similar ways. In 1 Peter 5, 8-9, we read, "Be alert and of sober mind. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaming lion for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." You have to love the way Peter says that the family of believers all over the world are experiencing the same kind of suffering in the face of the enemy who looks to devour. And Peter's solution, just like Paul's, is to stand firm in faith. When we suffer, we are mocked, teased, and ridiculed. When friends or family cut us off, when we have to leave a job. We learn that it means what it means to stand firm in faith. And at the same point, we learn that we aren't standing alone. We never were. We stand with the entire family of believers throughout the world, with the head of Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The message today and the example we see in the Thessalonian church is to stay the course. Stand firm. Don't give up. Don't give in. So whether you are delivering or receiving the gospel, whether you are like the Apostle Paul and his companions, or more like the Thessalonians, let the gospel be filled with joy. And in the words of Peter, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." I'd like to call Mary up to lead us in prayer.
Lord, I want to thank you for your testimony before we go to prayer. You have given us such a visual to really help us as we pray for the staff and for Pilgrim Pines and Camp Squanto. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. He is here, and he is waiting to be with us. Our Father God, what a privilege it is, Lord, to come into your presence. You are the God of all creation. You are King of the universe, eternal. You are with us at all times, and you know all things. And we bow humbly in your presence. And I often think of the words from Scripture, "Who am I that you are mindful of me?" And yet, Lord, you do know us and you love us. And we thank you, Lord God, for that wonderful gift of your love and your salvation. Oh, Lord God, we think, Lord, of the world that you have so marvelously created. And we have gone so far, oh God, from your original design. Lord, we see war in so many places. We see injustice. Lord, we see children who are abused and neglected. We see broken families, broken hearts, broken governments. Oh, Lord God, we need you now more than ever. Father God, I just pray that in your divine wisdom, you will raise up people who will lead us, Lord, who are not afraid to speak the truth of the gospel. Lord Jesus, help us to be strong in our faith. And as Gary mentioned, persecution, Lord, is not out of the realm of possibility. We just don't know. But Lord, help us to stand firm and to be strong and to know that when the time comes, you will not abandon us, that you are there, Lord, and you will strengthen us. Lord God, I think of the people of our church, Lord, and I just lift up to you Gina, who had surgery and is recovering at home. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of tragedy up at Camp Squanto, you were able to bring Lauren home so that she could be with her mom. And we just thank you, Lord God, for that. And Lord, we just pray that you will be with those who are not with us today, who are unable to worship with us. Lord, we think of Karen and George Anticoli. Meet their needs, O God. Encourage them this day, Holy Spirit. Lord, we think of Lou Friedland and Rogene LaPlante and Carolyn Stratman, Harriet McClay. Lord, we know that they would love to be with us, and that they miss this family, this church family. So speak to them this day, O God. Meet their needs, Lord Jesus, as only you can. And Lord, we pray a blessing on Derek today as he is serving in the armed forces over in Syria. We ask, O God, that you would be ever near to him, that he would know your presence. Lord Jesus, as we are in the midst of summer, we can't help thinking about the fall and what things will look like, Lord, in this church. We pray for our Sunday school, Lord God. We pray that you will raise up teachers and helpers. We pray for our youth groups, Lord Jesus. Father God, we ask that you will bring new families to our church, so that we can share the love of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be bold and to invite friends and neighbors. Help us, Jesus, not to hold tightly to this good news, but that we would open our arms and our hands and that we would share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us, within our sphere of influence, O God. Help us not to neglect that. Help us to recognize, Lord Jesus, where we do have an ability to share. Lord, help us to keep tapped into you, because we cannot share what we do not have. So I ask, O God, that each and every day we will seek your face, that we will lean into you, Lord God, that you will teach us, that you will guide us, and that we will stand firm. Lord God, we present all these things to you, O Jesus, and we ask in your name. We know that you hear our prayer, and we thank you, O God, for that. In your precious and most holy name, amen.
Now open our hearts to the Lord. God, we praise you and thank you that we are able to gather here today and that we are able to give back to you. We are able to praise you and sing songs to you, Lord. We thank you. We give you this day. In your Son's name we join together in prayer. Amen. Christian that cares about the brothers that's sitting next to you, not about getting home early. And don't forget, do not tick Lori off. She has lots of food. She has plenty of baggies and things for you to take food home. So please join her downstairs and join together. Go out into the world today knowing that the Lord loves you and cares for you, and that you need and can stand firm no matter what is going on in your world today. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Go in his peace. Amen.